Picture this. You're on your sixth lesson, maybe your seventh. You line up on the runway, advance the throttle to full, and the nose starts pulling left. Your instructor says right rudder. You push the pedal. The nose swings back. You think, okay, got it. Right rudder on takeoff, then the next flight, same thing, and the one after that. And somewhere around your 20th hour, you realize you're not just forgetting. Something is actually pushing your airplane to the left every time you add power. It is consistent. It is repeatable. It is physics and understanding it. It is the difference between reacting to the airplane and flying ahead of it. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today, we are going to walk through the four left-turning tendencies, what they are, why they happen, and more importantly, what they feel like, so you can stop chasing the ball and start anticipating where it is going to go. Before we get into the aerodynamics, a quick shout-out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey. Got your first solo? There is a coin for that, Private Instrument Commercial, ATP. They have you covered. These are the milestones you're going to remember for the rest of your life, and having something tangible to mark them is worth it. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. There are four left-turning tendencies, and I want to be clear about something right up front. They do not all happen at the same time or with the same intensity. Some are most pronounced at high power and low airspeed. Some only show up during specific phases of flight. Knowing which one is acting on you in which situation is what separates a pilot who manages the airplane from a pilot who gets managed by it. The first tendency is torque reaction. Every propeller on a conventional American training aircraft spins clockwise when you're looking at it from the cockpit. And Newton's third law says that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. If the propeller is spinning clockwise, the fuselage wants to rotate counterclockwise, which means the left main gear presses harder on the runway and the airplane wants to roll and yaw to the left. You feel this on the ground during the takeoff roll. It is why some airplanes veer left when you first go to full power. The effect diminishes once you are airborne, and the rolling tendency is absorbed by the wings generating lift. But on the ground, especially in those first few seconds, torque is contributing to that leftward pull. On a light trainer like the Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee, this effect is relatively mild. It is more pronounced in high-powered aircraft. If you ever transition to something with a lot of horsepower up front, you will feel torque in a way you never quite did in a 172. The second tendency is P factor. This one is probably the most significant for the kind of flying student pilots do, so I want to spend a little more time here. P factor stands for asymmetric propeller disc loading. Here is what that means. When your airplane is flying in a nose-high attitude, which is exactly what you have during climb, the propeller disc is tilted relative to the oncoming airflow. The disc is angled, and because of that tilt, the descending propeller blade, the one sweeping down on the right side of the airplane from your seat in the cockpit, has a greater angle of attack than the ascending blade on the left side. Greater angle of attack means more thrust. So the right side of your propeller is generating more thrust than the left side. When one side of the propeller pulls harder than the other, the nose yaws toward the side with less thrust. That is to the left, this is P factor, and it is most pronounced when you have high power and a high angle of attack at the same time. Sound familiar? That is your climb configuration. That is your climb out after rotation. That is why your instructor is saying right rudder right after the wheels leave the runway, when you are pointed at the sky and the throttle is all the way forward. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was training. P factor is not a fixed number. It changes with angle of attack. At cruise, when your nose is more level, P factor is less significant. At climb attitude with full power, it is very significant. The amount of right rudder you need is not constant across a flight. You have to feel it and respond to it, which is why developing this skill takes time and repetition. The third tendency is gyroscopic precession. The propeller on your aircraft is a spinning disc, a large, rapidly spinning mass of metal, and any spinning mass behaves like a gyroscope. Gyroscopes have a property called precession, which means that when you apply a force to a gyroscope, it responds 90 degrees ahead in the direction of rotation. During the takeoff roll in a tailwheel airplane, when the tail comes up, you are applying a pitching force to the propeller gyroscope. You are pitching it forward. Because of precession, the gyroscope responds 90 degrees around from where that force was applied, which means the nose yaws to the left. In a nose-wheel airplane, the geometry is different, and the effect is less dramatic during normal operations, but it is still present, and you will feel it clearly if you ever transition to a tailwheel aircraft or fly something with significant horsepower and make a rapid pitch change. Gyroscopic precession is also why some unusual attitude recoveries can create unexpected yaw. Anytime you are rapidly changing the pitch attitude of the aircraft with power on and the propeller spinning at high RPM, precession is a factor. The fourth tendency is the spiraling slipstream. When the propeller spins, it does not just push air straight back. It pushes air back and gives it a rotational twist. The air leaves the propeller in a corkscrew pattern that wraps around the fuselage. That spiraling column of air is called the slipstream, and it eventually contacts the vertical stabilizer and rudder at the tail. Because the propeller spins clockwise from the cockpit, the slipstream corkscrews counterclockwise around the fuselage. By the time it reaches the tail, it is hitting the left side of the vertical stabilizer. That pushes the tail to the right. When the tail goes right, the nose goes left. The spiraling slipstream effect is most pronounced at low airspeed and high power, which again puts it squarely in your takeoff and initial climb phase. As you accelerate and airspeed builds, the slipstream has less effect relative to the stabilizing force of the airstream passing over the tail. So those are the four: torque, P-factor, gyroscopic precession, spiraling slipstream. And here is the key insight that ties all of this together. They all point in the same direction. Every single one of them is trying to yaw the nose to the left, and they are all most active at high power and low airspeed. The moment in your flight when you need the most right rudder is exactly the moment when you're working the hardest mentally. You are accelerating down the runway, tracking the centerline, watching for rotation speed, and the airplane is simultaneously being pulled left by four distinct physical phenomena. No wonder students get behind it. Let me walk you through how this plays out on a typical departure. You line up on the runway. You advance the throttle in those first seconds. Torque and the spiraling slipstream are already acting. The nose wants to go left. You need right rudder to hold the centerline. As you accelerate down the ground roll with a relatively low angle of attack, P-factor is moderate. Then you rotate. Now the nose is up, you are in a climb attitude, full power is still in, and P-factor increases. You need more right rudder than you were using a moment ago. This surprises students every time. They get the centerline, they rotate, and then the nose starts swinging again and they are confused about what changed. That is P-factor increasing as the angle of attack increases after rotation. In the climb, you're going to maintain that nose-high attitude for potentially several minutes. Right, rudder pressure has to be a constant, sustained input, not a one-time correction. It is not a jab at the pedal. It is a continuous push. And here is the part that frustrates a lot of students. How much right rudder exactly? I cannot give you a number. It is different for different aircraft, different power settings, different airspeeds, different load conditions. You have to feel it. You have to use the ball. The ball, that little inclinometer in your turn coordinator or your turn and bank indicator. If the ball is centered, you are coordinated. If the ball is to the left, you are slipping, which in a climb usually means not enough right rudder. Step on the ball, the old saying goes, ball to the left right rudder, ball to the right left rudder. But here is something worth saying out loud, because I see this constantly. Students glance at the ball, notice it is off-center. Make a small input and go back to looking out the window. That is not how you fly coordinated. You have to develop a scan that includes the ball consistently, especially during climbs and turns. The ball needs to be part of your instrument cross-check the entire time the power is forward and the nose is up. There is also a tactile element here that takes time to develop. Coordinated flight should feel like you're pressed evenly into your seat. If you feel yourself sliding left or right, you're probably out of coordination. Some pilots develop a feel for this early, others take longer. Both are completely normal. It is a proprioceptive skill, and those develop at different rates for different people. Let me talk about why this matters beyond the aesthetics of a centered ball. Uncoordinated flight creates drag. A slipping or skidding airplane is not flying as efficiently as it could be. In a training environment where you're doing pattern work and burning fuel, that is a minor concern. But in an engine-out scenario, where every foot of glide ratio matters, coordinated flight is the difference between making the runway and not. More importantly, uncoordinated flight in a low and slow configuration combined with a steep bank is the classic setup for a cross-control stall. We covered the base-to-final stall on a previous traffic pattern. The underlying cause of that accident scenario is almost always insufficient rudder. Not enough rudder to keep the ball centered through the turn. Not enough rudder to prevent the outside wing from loading up. That is the break point, and it is preventable with the same habit we are talking about right now. Right rudder is not just about tracking the center line on takeoff. It is a habit that once built makes you safer in every phase of flight. The airman certification standards for the private pilot checkride are very specific about coordination. During steep turns, turns around a point, S-turns, and slow flight, the examiner is watching the ball. They are evaluating whether you make smooth, coordinated control inputs or whether you're banking with aileron and letting the nose drift wherever it wants. Here is something I tell students before check rides. The examiner can tell within about 90 seconds whether a student has developed real stick and rudder habits or whether they have been flying with their feet essentially idle. They can feel it in the seat of the airplane, they can see it in the ball. You cannot fake coordinated flight for a 45-minute practical test. The good news is that right rudder becomes second nature. Every pilot who looks smooth and confident in the airplane built the habit the same way you're building it right now. One takeoff at a time, one climb at a time, one traffic pattern at a time. Here is a drill that I have found helps on your next flight. During climb out after takeoff, make a conscious effort to check the ball every 5 seconds. Not necessarily to correct it, just to notice it. See how often it is centered versus how often it is drifted. Over several flights, you will notice the intervals between corrections getting longer, because you're starting to anticipate the input rather than react to it. That is the transition from student to pilot. Another drill worth doing. After leveling off from a climb, pay attention to when you can reduce right rudder pressure. As the angle of attack decreases in level flight and the airspeed builds, P factor and the slipstream effect diminish, you will find yourself releasing rudder pressure as you settle into cruise. That release is important feedback. It tells you that you are carrying the right amount of pressure in the climb and that the airplane is now in a more neutral state aerodynamically. And when you reduce power, notice what happens. Throttle back, all four tendencies reduce, and the airplane may want to yaw right slightly or at least stop its tendency to yaw left. Some students overcorrect here and end up pushing left rudder unnecessarily. Just let the pressure come off naturally as you reduce power and pay attention to what the airplane is telling you. One more thing I want to address. Some students hear that right rudder is the answer, and they start hammering the right pedal on every takeoff, regardless of what the airplane is actually doing. That is not coordination. If you're pushing so much right rudder that the ball has swung over to the right, you have overcorrected. You have traded one problem for another. The goal is to use exactly as much rudder as the airplane is asking for. No more, no less. The rudder is a precision instrument. It requires finesse, and that finesse is built over time, which is why stick and rudder coordination is something you develop across your entire training and your entire flying life, not something you check off after a single lesson. The FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook, available as a free download at faa.gov, has an excellent chapter on left-turning tendencies. If you have not read it, an hour on the ground will pay dividends in the air. Your instructor is not saying right rudder to frustrate you. They are saying it because they can see the ball going left, and they know what happens to pilots who stop using their feet. The correction is one of the most important habits in all of aviation. Sources for today's episode include the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate, both available at faa.gov, more at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern. Keep the ball centered, keep the right pedal handy, and I'll see you next time.